Talk Live, you can bring up whatever you want via the toll-free number at 800-259-9231. It's the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. 1-800-259-9231. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. Yeah. So I got this email here from a young lady that listens to the program. She would like to remain anonymous, but she wanted to share with us something she wrote to one of her so-called representatives about her experience with the police. And here it is. She says, "This is a complaint and a request for advice. My boyfriend was recently arrested. The problem here is he was borrowing my vehicle at the time. As thankful as I am that the police didn't decide to take my car, they did end up taking a lot of things inside of it, like my laptop, phone charger, AC adapter, car keys, etc. Now, I understand that by law, even though I disagree with it, the police may search a vehicle if the person who's currently using it has reason to be arrested. My complaint is that the things they took out of the vehicle weren't even his. The police station told me I'd be able to get my belongings back if he were to fill out a property release form. Now, unfortunately, no matter how many times he has asked, they still have not let him do that. I'm pretty sure it doesn't take much effort to give someone a few pieces of paper and a pencil, pen, marker, charcoal, crayon, or anything to write with. It's critical that I get my belongings back. Some reasons for this are the fact that most of my schoolwork, reports, resume, applications, pins, passwords, personal artwork, etc. are all on my laptop. And another example is my keys. There are many keys on that ring that I don't have any other copies of, and it's ridiculous that I have to wait so long in order to get them back. Why is this bureaucratic system unable to do the simplest things, like hand someone a piece of paper and a writing utensil?" Well, because they don't have to, right? I mean, that's the answer, isn't it? Why would they bother caring about your predicament or your situation? It's not like you can stop paying property taxes, as I, you know, talked to this bureaucrat today.
We don't have customer service for lawbreakers.
Right. I mean, these city people, these government people, it's their system, whether you like it or not. And they can treat you however they want to treat you, and they can charge you whatever arbitrary fines or tax amounts that they want to charge you.
Well, when it comes to taxes, there's usually a millage amount. There's a millage amount.
It's arbitrarily set, though.
Well, it's
otherwise everybody would have the same millage amount, but yet the city of Keene, where we live, or I live here in New Hampshire, has the second highest millage rate of the entire state.
But I understand that, but it's set by the voters of Keene to some extent.
It's set by the people that are calling themselves the Keene government. The voters of Keene don't vote on that.
Some of the money that's spent by the city of Keene is set by the voters, and some of it's done by the city council.
I think it's only on the school thing that the voters have any input to budgetary things. Otherwise, it's all city council stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, either way, the answer to her question.
The school is by the way, more than half of the
60%.
Yeah, taxes.
So either way, the answer to her question, which she won't get from the bureaucrats, is, if she even gets an answer, is because they can.
It's not a very satisfying answer.
Yeah, because they don't have to do anything else. Because if you don't like it too bad, you still have to pay them anyway, and they know that. They inherently know that whatever it is they do, however nastily they treat you, next year you're going to cut them another check.
Either that or they take your house away.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was talking last hour, for those just tuning in, that today I spent about 45 minutes sitting in a meeting with the city manager here in Keene, and while most of his answers were relatively roundabout and lengthy and verbose, there were some that he was pretty straightforward on. And I have to give the guy credit. I mean, most bureaucrats probably wouldn't have given us the time of day or certainly sat down to answer as many questions as we had for him. But one of the ones I caught him on was I actually asked him if he'd actually read the New Hampshire Constitution. And that's when he actually went. He did not spend long answering. He said he had not. Not read most of it.
But he took an oath to uphold it.
I don't know. Does the city manager swear that?
I bet you they all do. I would imagine that they all take an oath.
I think in many places it's common for people at the city level to swear an oath to the U.S. Constitution. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if they swore an oath to uphold the Constitution of their state.
Well, yes. I'm pretty sure you can actually pull up the New Hampshire oath, and I believe it references the federal government and the New Hampshire Constitution, but I know for a fact that at least elected people have to swear that oath, but I'm not sure about paid bureaucrats. That would be a question for somebody that knows more about the political system here to answer. And if you want, 800-259-9231. But at least to answer that, he said he looked at some of it. And again, this just happened today. I haven't had a chance to review the tape, so I'm not real firm on all that transpired. But then I asked him, I said, well, that's okay. I haven't read the whole thing either, but I have read the first sentence. Have you read the very beginning of the Constitution? And he admitted he had not. So I've read more of the New Hampshire Constitution than the man managing the city of Keene.
Swell.
Anyway, it was about the comforting. It was about the whole consent of the governed thing, and he had some roundabout answer for that.
Sure. You consented when you walked into the place.
That was basically it, yeah. So let's continue with Ashley, or wait, whoever her name is, email. Didn't say where she lived, though. Anyway, the police get a pretty hefty budget from the money that's stolen from this country's citizens. There's no reason why they shouldn't be able to return me my property. I don't care much as to why they decided to take it. The only thing that matters is that the items are mine, regardless of where they were or what they were being used for at the time. It's theft, regardless of who you are, even if someone is a police officer. Well, as I learned this afternoon, it's apparently not theft because they don't call it theft. And they're the ones with the guns, so if they decide it's not theft, then hey, it's apparently not theft. She says, I didn't sign an agreement granting them authority over myself and certainly not over anyone else. That would be impossible. I can't grant someone authority that I don't have myself, and neither can anyone else, contrary to what much of this country's government believes. The police station isn't very helpful. Either no one answers the phone, or they just say the same thing. The inmate must fill out a property release form first. Then it will take 1 to 3 days. This response is in no way helpful. There's no one non-biased at a police station to monitor it, so they seem to be able to just slack off as much as they want. For a service I'm being forced to pay for, they do a horrible job and provide not so great a quality of customer service. If the police, here especially, were a private security company, they would have already been put out of business. The security company I worked for formerly could have done things much better. Why, you ask? Because it's a private company who doesn't get their funds by stealing from others. That means they actually have to work hard and do a good job in order to stay in business. Wow, that means they actually get things done. Here's a small story that my boyfriend told me of when he was in holding. There was supposedly an older man in there with him who had a heart condition. It took the police so long to get things done that the man had a heart attack when he should have been taken to the hospital. Why is whatever they had to do more important than someone's health or life? Now, with today's technology, why is it that they took so long to do this? Computers are faster than ever. Most people can type much faster than they can write. Files can be sent across the world within seconds. Label machines make it quick and easy to label evidence. Also, after being a former security officer and having to write plenty of reports, I know for a fact it doesn't take hours to write one. I have in the past written detailed reports of incidents, listed all items in detail, all the way down to the measurements, drew detailed and labeled diagrams, all in the same report, and never did it take me that long. So, she asked a few questions of her so-called representative. Do you have any suggestions on how to retrieve my items? Do you have any answers as to why it takes so long for police to get anything done at the station? What are your views on the subject? Do you believe that it's okay to steal another person's property? Do you believe that someone should be able to use force on a person who has not harmed anyone? What gives the police the authority to do things such as this? Isn't the government a contract between it and the people? I never signed a contract. I thought that government had to have the consent of the governed. And by the way, the city manager didn't really get that concept too much, the whole consent
of the governed. No, why would he? Yeah. That would have threatened his livelihood.
She says, I do not consent. America no longer seems to be the land of the free, with the police constantly saying, I'm just doing my job and asking for identification and papers. America is now becoming the modern-day land of Nazis and oppression. At this rate, I would not be in this country any longer if I could afford it. Two wolves and a sheep deciding what is for dinner is not the kind of government that's suitable for people who like to take responsibility for their own lives instead of letting other people run it. Thanks very much for the time, or taking the time to read this email. I look forward to your response. Nick?
Well, I do want to touch on this consent of the governed thing, because when the framers of the Constitution used it, they used it in a way in parallel with what they said, setting up a government. They seem to imply that it's either a consent of a majority or a consent of a supermajority, but they set up a system in which a certain proportion of the people can make decisions for the whole. So they obviously weren't thinking about it as unanimous consent.
More on the way here. You can take control. 800-259-9231. Bring up what you want. This is Free Talk Live.
Welcome to the Shack Radio Minute, with thoughts and commentary on spirituality by the author and collaborators of the best-selling book, The Shack. Here's Paul Young, Brad Cummings, and Wayne Jacobson.
You know, the world is full of tragedy, earthquakes and floods, tsunamis, what people call in insurance acts of God. Do you think it's really fair to tag him with all that tragedy?
Well, some people seem to think it is. It's really sad that God gets that kind of notoriety for earthquakes and hurricanes. But I think, to me, the things that speak most of God's work in creation is people who are giving themselves fully and freely to help make him known in the world. I know a gal in the Sudan, born with one leg, who over there opened an orphanage and suddenly had 80 kids to care for. That's God moving in the culture.
Yeah, there's a lot of pain and tragedy and difficulty out there, but to make God the author, I think, is to profoundly mischaracterize who he is.
He's certainly not the one orchestrating the tragedy. He's the one out to rescue us from all the places where this world is broken.
For more information on the New York Times best-selling book, The Shack, please visit theshackbook.com. What if there is a God who really loves you? For those who have ever wondered how God can exist in a world of unspeakable tragedy and sadness, comes a riveting new novel that could change the way you think about God. The Shack, number one on the New York Times bestseller list for the last 7 weeks, is the most talked-about book of the year. It's an uplifting, endearing, unconventional look at a man, his pain, and an unbelievable encounter. The Shack is available wherever books are sold.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Hi, I'm David, and if you wake up at night to urinate like I was, then you'll want to take advantage of this special risk-free offer. If you have dribbling, burning, or pain during or after urination, then you may have a condition known as benign prostate enlargement. This is potentially serious and can get worse with age, so get regular checkups from your doctor and take advantage of this special risk-free offer on Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate contains natural ingredients that help support a healthy prostate, and it contains 3,000 times more beta-satosterols than ordinary soft palmetto, so it's powerful and it works. What's better is that Beta Prostate is a healthy supplement, so you don't need a prescription for it, and it's risk-free.
For your risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-204-6421. That's 1-800-204-6421. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. That's 1-800-204-6421.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial in via the toll-free number. Brought to you by SACL CAI, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. All the features are free, including the bulletin board system. You can get interactive with over 375,000 posts There's a lot to talk about over there on the BBS. Go to bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com.
A new online store featuring whimsical decorative knobs and pulls is open for business. Funknobs.com is catered towards customers looking to give their playroom, kids' room, bathroom, or even kitchen a unique and fun flair. Toll-free customer service is also available at 877-820-9224. It's funknobs.com. The creation of the parent company, internobs.com, online service since 2004.
All right, 1-800-259-9231. Nick, you were making some comments about the whole idea of the government being by the consent of the governed, and you didn't have much time to do it, so I want to make sure you can expound on those. But before you do, let me read Article 1 briefly, which is very brief, so like one sentence, of the New Hampshire Constitution. And I, from what I understand, there's similar language in other constitutions, but I can't say for
sure. There just isn't the word consent in the United States Constitution, unfortunately, so it's not as good of an example.
This one says
all. It is, however, in the Declaration of Independence.
This is the first sentence of the Bill of Rights in New Hampshire's Constitution. All men are born equally free and independent. Therefore, all government of right originates from the people, is founded in consent, and instituted for the general good. So I don't hear any sort of
that sounds very individual
modifiers to that. They're not saying it's...
I'm not saying that they actually believed, yes, they set up a system where it's clearly they're talking about the consent of the majority of the people, but that first sentence is darn individual.
So with that in mind, Nick, go ahead with your thoughts.
That probably wasn't the intention of the sentence, because they set up a government, and if they were voluntarious, I don't think they would have set up a limited Lockean state. That's what I'm saying, is they were setting up a government with that document. Probably implies that they weren't setting up a voluntarist anarchist system, because they were setting up a government with the document where they supposedly wrote that everyone has to consent. That's what I'm saying, is they were using consent probably maybe as an ideal that everyone would consent.
They were using it sort of like I do. I'll advocate personal responsibility. The government shouldn't be stealing from people, consent, and all those other things until it comes down to things like roads and cops. And at which point I'm like, whoa, hey, let's just back off just a second.
Right. So I think what they were trying to do was use the consent of the individual as a guiding principle. If you read a lot of the writings from the time period by the people who are writing these documents, they thought the government should be limited and should have as little control over the citizens' lives as possible, but they weren't saying that it should have no authority over them.
And unfortunately, they set up a government that apparently can bust out of it the bonds that they tried to put it in, and there doesn't seem to be any responsibility for the governing in that case.
The one good thing I will say about the New Hampshire Constitution, and it was true of some other ones previously, but most of them amended out the part that guaranteed a right to revolution. So it implies, at least they're implying, that government can become corrupted or overbearing. So they are saying that the people, and again, it's kind of a... it's nebulous. Are they talking about a majority of the people or just some people? But they are saying that in certain circumstances, the people have the right to overthrow the government and the responsibility to do so, and either create a new one or not. But
but unfortunately, in the process, there's a chance they'll steal your house from you.
Right. Well, we had Gardner Goldsmith on the show last night, and he's a bit more of an expert in all things constitutional than, the three of us combined. And he had said that there was a provision in the New Hampshire Constitution that prevented them from taking, was it school funds or some funds for something in particular that sounds really good, the baby fund or whatever. And in fact, they are taking the funds out of that.
I know, they're supposed to take all the revenue generated by tickets, for instance, and use it only for maintenance of the roads and that sort of
thing. Yeah, it was roads.
So, which I'm not so sure that they actually stick to.
Yeah, they're not.
Yeah. So,
what a surprise.
Yeah, they don't follow their own piece of paperwork that supposedly establishes.
And what do? You pay money in order to file a lawsuit against these people, and they don't pay anything.
No, and their gang members, the government people themselves, don't even understand the system that they work in. As I said, I did get
they understand
some
they can do whatever the hell they want,
that
as long as their boss says it's okay.
Right, and the boss doesn't even understand what the system is.
Hasn't read the Constitution, according to the guy today.
He admittedly has not read the New Hampshire Constitution. I doubt he's read the U.S. Constitution. And he not only has he not read the New Hampshire Constitution, but he also told me that he thought that the federal government grants the states power. He thought that the government essentially that like the states.
Yeah, they do believe that, but it's a mistake, and it just goes to show that these city managers and all these kind of people with these great big degrees don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
This is the United States of America. The states, in fact, created the federal government. They signed and ratified the Constitution.
13 of the states created the federal government. The federal government,
but then
the rest
of the people sort of opted in. After the government took the land and said, this is, you know, part of the United States, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I happen to be in one of those 13 states. I will speak as a revolutionary founding father.
So, you know, when I get a chance to review the video, if there's anything worthwhile, I'll share it. I'll be more specific about what this guy said. But for the most part, it was just a bunch of gobbledygook. Just an excuse. Just making excuses for hurting people. And for stealing people's houses from them. So I still stand by my position that non-cooperation is the way to go. I mean, he did spend some of his time trying to convince us that we should work within the system. And he really wants us to pay property taxes because he doesn't want to have to throw somebody out of their house.
Right. He just wants his, $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 a year. He doesn't want to, you know, have to go through the trouble of the house and the bad PR that goes with it.
Exactly. And I told him about that. I said, you know what, there's a chance more people are going to come here, and then you may have to throw a bunch of people out of their homes. I mean, what are you going to do in that case? I let him know that this was not going to end here. Like, this is just the very beginning of what's going to happen.
Well, have they said they might kick you out of your home? Because my understanding is that at least in the city of Keene, because different towns and cities here in New Hampshire do it differently, my understanding from what I've heard is that Keene doesn't actually kick you out of your home. They'll just
sell the house.
He said there would be consequences.
What happens
is the terminology, the consequences,
we did talk about the process of what happens. And so after 3 years, that's how it's the way this works in New Hampshire. It might be different where you live. But after 3 years, they then have the ability to take an action. Now, they could just choose to not do anything. They could choose to just let you not pay and ignore you. So they have that option. But they also have the option to start the tax sale process, wherein if you owe X in taxes, they sell your house from under you, and they use the proceeds to pay whatever their so-called bill is, whatever you owe or they believe that you owe.
And then what do they do?
And then they give you, allegedly, as the owner, the rest of the money from the sale. So at that point, then, your house is sold to some new owner.
And not likely at a premium price, that's for sure.
Yeah. So then the new owner could come in, and as you are occupying his home, have you kicked out. But what if you have a lease? What if you, have a corporation leasing your house from you?
Well, that would be...
Like a 99-year lease that's all been paid in advance? Is that a possibility? Does somebody know something about real estate?
Generally, they have to honor the leases that were in place.
Generally, they do. I wonder about that approach. More on the way. Free Talk Live.
Fat burners. I like the sound of that. Fat burners. Life change fat burners. When fat burners are used in conjunction with Life Change Tea, you're going to see a change in your life. Maybe you'll be a movie star. Maybe you'll drive NASCAR. Maybe you'll be a lion tamer. Well, maybe not a lion tamer. Get energy, lose weight, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at getthetea.com. Get energy, lose weight, getthetea.com. Your fat burners and tea are available at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. Again, 928-308-0408. And don't forget to ask about our Mid-State Fair special. That's getthetea.com.
Alabama state code makes it illegal to drive barefoot. In Downey, California, it's illegal to wash your car in the street. In Minnesota, you can be fined for displaying that your vehicle is for sale. These laws are obviously not made to protect us, but instead to help states profit. The use of red light cameras is another great example. They intrude on your privacy, are unconstitutional, and cost you valuable time and money. SprayYourPlate.com is a spray-on photo blocker that protects against red light cameras, toll cameras, and speed cameras. One application lasts a lifetime, is undetectable, and each can covers up to 4 license plates. Simply spray it on, let it dry, and you're protected. All orders are kept strictly confidential, and for the month of August, receive free shipping and a $5 bill enclosed with every order. Call 1-800-276-9601. That's 1-800-276-9601, or go to sprayyourplate.com. That's sprayyourplate.com. Don't give your money to the state. Spray your plate.
Fact. Rapid industrialization has resulted in environmental pollution, and its curse on world health is staggering. We live in a toxic world that is bombarded by 7 new chemicals each day. The human body is amazing and efficient in design, but because of the polluted world in which we live, is unable to remove all toxins. The solution. Detoxification integrated with Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa. The Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa helps to aid in cleansing the body of harmful toxins while energizing and oxygenating your entire body at the cellular level. Detoxification works with the Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa because it addresses the needs of individual cells, the building blocks of human life, for mental clarity, restored vitality, a stronger immune system, clear skin, and health in every aspect of your being. Order your Electro-Chi Premier Energy Foot Spa by visiting NutraMedical.com or call Dr. William Deagle at 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871.
If this is your paycheck and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2981, 800-498-2981, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2981, 800-498-2981.
Provider and licensing details are available.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. Your show, and you can bring up what you want via the toll-free number at 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free. Wiki is included, over 1,700 pages created by listeners just like you. You can go to wiki.freetalklive.com and get interactive. It's like the listener editable version of our website. It again is wiki.freetalklive.com. Travel less and meet online. Try WebEx free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code 600 to start your free trial of WebEx. That's WebEx, WebEx.com. Promo code is 600. That lets you start your free trial of WebEx today. 800-259-9231. So let's talk immigration and what happened after the Postville raid. We did tell you about this when it went down, where hundreds of immigrants or travelers, movers, as our caller earlier suggested, were arrested and taken into federal custody over this whole immigration insanity that's sweeping across the country and leaving a trail of wreckage behind it. Because you can't just go and take 300 or 400 people, I don't have the number in front of me, but you can't just go and snatch up hundreds of people, especially from a relatively small town, and expect it all to happen in a vacuum and everything to just be fine.
They say that 20%, the civilization will come apart with the loss of 20% of the the people, you know, like in a plague situation or something like that. And I think that the government could be, paralleled to a plague.
Yeah, I think you might be right about that. So let's tell you the story here. This is from the Associated Press. A vague unease whispered through this tiny town in northeastern Iowa, where the rolling hills are a study in vivid colors. Red barns, white clapboard houses, and vibrant green cornfields plowed with almost architectural precision. It drifted through Postville's downtown, where restaurants serving tamales share 3 short blocks with El Vaquero clothing store, a kosher food market,
the Cowboy,
and the Spice and Ice Liquor and Redemption store. It nagged at Irma Rucal that Monday morning after Mother's Day weekend as the Guatemalan immigrant worked her regular shift salting chickens at Agriprocessors, the world's largest kosher meatpacking plant and Postville's biggest employer. Then, just after 10 a.m., that insistent murmur burst to the surface with a frantic shout, La migra! Salvese el que pueda! Immigration! Save yourself if you can! The bulk of the plant's 900 workers, mostly Guatemalan and Mexican immigrants, dashed outdoors, through hallways and into corners, trying to escape federal agents conducting what would be the largest immigration raid in U.S. history. Outside the plant, Postville Mayor Robert Penrod alerted just before the raid gasped at the sight of helicopters, buses, vans, and armed immigration agents. Oh my God, we have a big problem here, Penrod thought, and cursed softly to himself. A few blocks away at St. Bridget's Catholic Church, the sanctuary quickly overflowed with the terrified children and spouses of the detained workers. They lined the simple wooden pews and prayed at an altar decorated with an image of the Virgin of Guadalupe, Mexico's patron saint. For years, even decades, these Mexican and Guatemalan families had called Postville home. Here, in a place first settled by German and Norwegian Lutherans and Irish Catholics more than 150 years ago, Hispanic immigrants were raising their children, buying houses, and building businesses. Like the Hasidic Jews who came to the town in 1987 to open the meatpacking plant, and the Eastern Europeans who first made up the first band of workers there, the influx of Guatemalans and Mexicans had both buffeted and bolstered this quiet community, until it reached a new cultural equilibrium. In time, the newcomers became part of the fabric of Postville, which proudly bills itself as hometown to the world. Now they were clustered in hiding or being herded away in handcuffs by immigration agents. Officials of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, said they should not be faulted for carrying out the law and guarding against identity theft. We're just doing our jobs! And yet Sister Mary McAuley, the pastoral administrator at St. Bridget's, said the lament of one longtime resident surveying the chaos unleashed by the raid summed up the thoughts of many. Sister, a real terrible thing has happened to our town. It was as if a tornado had whipped through the town or a flood had swallowed up houses. A disaster, man-made, but a disaster all the same. 3 months after the raid, that's how many in Postville described the events of May 12th. Lives disrupted. People pushed out of jobs and homes. Children separated from parents, businesses verging toward collapse. And as in any small town swept by disaster, the community quickly banded together to help the victims. In the days following the raid, donations of food, clothing, and money poured into St. Bridget's, which became a sanctuary to nearly 400 immigrants, and to the local food pantry flocked by families in need. Red ribbons, symbolizing support for the detained workers, still flutter from lampposts and tree trunks. A sign on one front lawn near the agriprocessor's plant declares, "Immigrants, welcome. Bienvenidos." "We've got a lot of people here who need help. We can't just throw them out on the street," said the silver-haired mayor. "They're our family. They've made their homes here, had jobs here, and raised families here." As with the disaster, the initial mobilization had been followed by shifting emotions. Quiet anger at the federal government's actions, outrage at allegations of abusive working conditions at the plant, and above all, worry. The entire town seems weighed down by worry and a bone-deep weariness these days. At a recent Sunday sermon in St. Bridget's, where the pastor, Reverend Richard Gall, likened the need to help feed immigrant families to the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Inside Sabor Latino, where owner Juan Figuera eyed empty tables and sadly considered closing the Mexican grocery store next door. In Club 51, the town bar, where a jar of pickled eggs sits on the counter and regulars jokingly count down the minutes to the big old fish segment on the local news, on a recent weekday evening, some longtime agriprocessor workers downed cold beers and quietly fretted about the raid's effect on the plant and the stream of new people arriving in town. Postville has lost more than one-fourth of its pre-raid population of 2,300, including 389 agriprocessors workers who were detained by immigration officials and scores more who have fled or gone into hiding. About 60 workers, mostly women with small children, were released on humanitarian grounds pending court dates. Of those, 40 to 45 were required to wear black electronic monitoring bracelets, leaving them unable to work or to leave. The Mexican and Guatemalan families who once pushed strollers along the streets or frequented the downtown stores and restaurants now try to stay out of sight. In their place are newcomers drawn, as they were, by reports of job openings at the agriprocessors or recruited by labor agencies contracted by the plant. Many of the new workers are Somali men who keep to themselves and gather to share food and coffee at a storefront on Postville's main drag. The town has been constantly changing. It had opened its heart to change, but now I sense anguish within people, said McCauley. They're asking, what's going to happen to the town? Do we have the strength to make another adjustment? To be sure, this town with no stoplights, three churches, and one Orthodox Jewish synagogue has weathered its share of change and forged an identity by absorbing successive waves of newcomers who found their way here. First came the Rubashkin family, which bought a defunct meatpacking plant on the edge of town and opened Agriprocessors, a small community of Hasidic Jews from the Lubavitcher sect, including rabbis who slaughtered animals according to religious law, followed. Then came their first group of plant workers, immigrants from Bosnia, Poland, Russia, and former Soviet republics. In the late 1990s, those workers were gradually replaced by Guatemalan and Mexican immigrants. At one time, Postville was home to people from 24 nations speaking 17 languages. The mix of cultures,
I guess it is the hometown of the world,
which might be unremarkable to a larger city, is striking in this two-square-mile town set in the middle of cornfields and dairy farms. Hasidic Jews, and believe it or not, it worked all the way up until May of 2008 when the government goons came into town.
These people were going to work. They were using fuel. They were paying rent. They were paying their taxes. They were doing everything that we do. And they were being a net benefit to our economy. And you can look. If you don't look at emails and you don't look at hate rhetoric and you actually look at the numbers and you look at the economics of this, these people are a net benefit to the country, even with our current stupid welfare system and our current stupid public school system. I don't feel like any American should be responsible for paying for the education of anybody, but let alone a foreign immigrant. I don't feel that they're responsible for that, but the fact is they are an economic net benefit to the United States.
And we hear,
illegal or not,
these whiners in America, these complainers talking about, oh, our culture's being ruined. Well, what was the culture in Postville? As it says here, there were people from 24 countries speaking 17 languages there. What's the culture in Postville?
You know, I spoke to a gentleman the other day, and I was talking to him about immigration and that kind of thing. And he's basically like, well, you know, I don't mind if they come here and pick fruit and pick our vegetables because I don't want to see an apple costing $20 in the store. But when they start getting into construction and bidding on jobs and stuff like that, funny, he happened to be in construction.
What do you know?
It's always protectionism. What about me? I consider myself a white fruit picker, and I would like to pick fruit for $125,000 a year. As many of you know, I put on a little extra weight with the baby. Not much, 10 or 15 pounds, but my pants don't fit right anymore. Some of them are darn hard to button. Now, I'm not a real good dieter. I cut back for a day or two, and then I break down and end up binging. My exercise schedule's been pretty lax, too. So I needed another solution. Well, I heard about a product called Dex C20. I contacted them. I've been taking the product for about 10 days now, and I've lost 2 pounds. Now, that may not seem like a whole bunch, but I haven't done anything else. No dieting and no exercise outside of my normal activity. Most weight loss supplements make me mean and crazy. I can't take them. I'm too sensitive to the stimulants. Not Dex C20. It's all natural and has none of the stimulants. You can find it at most major drugstores like Walgreens, CVS, or GNC. Go and pick up a bottle of Dex C20 in the gold box today and start losing weight the easy way. Dex C20.
Hi, this is Alex Jones, and I want to talk to you about the high price of gasoline. It's no secret that gasoline quality is poor, even though we're paying record prices at the pump. I have run across a company called SFR, who has developed two products that improve gas mileage. Instead of paying a mechanic as much as $300 to clean your injection system, Protecta Complete Fuel System Treatment cleans to 95% of new engine condition, improving mileage in only one tank full. Protecta Engine Treatment not only reduces friction, but it extends the life of your engine. Let's face it, with the high price of gasoline, it's time to take action. Purchase a Protecta Fuel System Treatment for only $9.95 and receive a free engine treatment, which is a $12.95 value free. Call 888-USE-SFR1. That number again is 888-USE-SFR1. Or check them out online at oilcompanysecret.com. That's oilcompanysecret.com. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. And it's safe for all cars. Act now.
We all know that the Berkey water systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. The revolutionary Berkey Light self-sterilizing and recleanable purification elements purify water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and by extracting harmful chemicals such as herbicides, pesticides, VOCs, organic solvents, radon-222, and trihalomethanes. They also reduce nitrates, nitrites, sediment, and unhealthy minerals such as lead and mercury. As an authorized dealer for over 2.5 years, serving thousands of satisfied customers, we offer amazing specials for Berkey Light water systems. Order the Berkey Light system today, complete with two black Berkey filter elements and free KDF shower filter for only $209, plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping and one KDF shower filter, a $49 value free for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now. Not yet available in Iowa.
Are you tired of hearing that a cure for cancer is coming, but it will be available sometime in the future? At Lays Med Inc., the future is here. Now it's cancer's turn to die with our patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin cancer and breast tumors of any size and many other types of cancer without adverse side effects at our outpatient facility. We offer a real solution using real science. Our unique approach to cancer treatment is what everyone has been waiting for. A simple, easy way to eliminate the threat of cancer. Laser technology at its best. To receive an information packet, call our treatment center at 501-255-0528. That's 501-255-0528. Or visit our website at lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. Just dial in toll-free at 800-259-9231. This is Nickel CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Nick.
And Mark. And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features are free on the site, so enjoy those. And if you like Free Talk Live, want to help support the show, shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. Even if you're buying used items, there are 41-plus categories to shop in. You'll get the brands you trust, great prices, and maybe even free Super Saver shipping. And you can feel good because Free Talk Live's getting a cut if you enter through Amazon.FreeTalkLive.com. So what is it like in Postville, Iowa, after the raid? Maybe you heard earlier this year where almost 400 people were arrested and detained by immigration officials, taken out of their lives, stolen away from their wives and children. Of course, many of them were women as well, but stolen away from their families, their livelihoods, just ripped out of the economy of this town called Postville, Iowa. Population was only about 2,300 at the time, so they just took out a significant chunk.
And they say that, what I've read is that 20%, and I don't think it would work in quite this way in the United States, but 20% of the population of a given area, that, you know, civilization begins to crumble.
Businesses are verging towards collapse. People have been pushed out of their jobs and homes, children separated from parents. And the federal government goons that did all this, all they have to say for themselves is, don't blame me, I'm just doing my job. And we're talking about how the city is it's kind of an interesting mix of different cultures. Over the years, it has had people from, you know, Eastern Europe to Western Europe to, now sort of focusing more on Mexicans and Guatemalans. But people come in and they make a little living for themselves and they move out or they stay, whatever. People do different things. And the Postville was fine. Everything was fine in Postville. And then the government came in and just destroyed everything. Inside City Hall, municipal notices are posted in English, Spanish, and Hebrew, and a sign lists major Jewish holidays. At Spice and Ice Liquor Store, which once stocked 23 varieties of vodka, the shelves now hold an assortment of Mexican and Guatemalan beer. St. Bridget's Catholic Church offers Saturday Mass in Spanish and provides bilingual church bulletins, hymnals, and prayer books. Huh. People are doing all this on their own, Mark. They're not being forced to provide all these alternative kind of cultural options.
I find it sad and jingoist when people say, I shouldn't have to push one for English.
Yeah. Well, it's really ignorant.
If you call my house and I decide that I'm going to speak Spanish on my telephone to you, what are you going to do? You're going to send the federal goons in to kick my teeth in?
Hola, Casa del Mar.
I can choose to do that. I was born here, but I can speak a bit of Spanish. I can slaughter the language if I have to. And are you just going to kick my butt? These people are doing business, and they're doing business the way they want to do business.
Yep.
What, are you going to bring laws in that say you can only do business in English in the United States?
They would like that.
Look, I'm fine with English being the official language of the United States, and therefore only the government documents are printed in English. But I don't think that I don't think the government should be nearly as large as it is, and nearly as intrusive, and then it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. Well, people just need to be able to cross these imaginary lines in the sand without being bothered by people. But until these sickos all around this country, which it's a significant percentage of Americans that believe that immigrants are a problem, until they come to understand.
It's not just Americans. It's the world. The world is racist.
Okay.
Ethnocentric, I think, is probably a better terminology.
The tension's nothing new, but it used to be that the government didn't actually step in. There's always been tension between the groups that were already here and the new people coming in, and it was usually pretty much the same arguments. The newcomers are going to undercut the labor market.
It's really funny, but this was true even before the United States was the United States. Back, but when it was a British colony, they didn't like the German farmers that were in Pennsylvania. Benjamin Franklin actually wrote against them that they're not English, and he was talking out against them.
Ruining our culture.
I was speaking to an Amish gentleman a couple of days ago, and he said that his ancestor came over in the 1760s. He's blue blood. But we would never call him that in this country because he's not an English blue blood. He's, he's of German descent. He's Amish.
Hmm. Well, now people fear the raid has endangered that carefully calibrated balance of cultures that Postville had. Kim Deering, lifelong Postville resident and owner of the Wishing Well, a downtown home decor and flower shop, says a lot of good workers were taken away and a lot of good families are gone. The community is drained of our giving energy, of wondering how long the new people will stay, if it'll be a culture that fits into our community. We're grieving, scared, and apprehensive. They become walking symbols of the raid. Las mujeres con brazaletas, the women with bracelets. They came from Guatemala and Mexico to work grueling 12 to 14-hour days in the agriprocessor's plant, frequently standing in boots in knee-deep water, their hands cramped and swollen from shifts salting chickens or loading meat onto trays.
People work so hard.
Yep.
They work so hard to feed Americans, to cut our grass, and to wash our dishes. To put roofs on our houses, to construct those houses that we live in. And by the way, the houses then get cheaper because the labor is cheaper to produce them. Everything that they work on, they're willing to work for less, and therefore we all can buy things for less and benefit from it.
I think they're heroes, personally. But here's the rest of what these women were doing every day. 12 to 14-hour days, grueling. It's described they earned $6.25 to $7.25 an hour with 20-minute meal breaks, and they say often no overtime pay. But these women, whose faces are now creased with anguish, they say they were happy. Happy to be earning enough money to support their families. Happy to be in a place where their children's hopes could bear fruit.
It's the American dream.
Happy to be carving out lives in a quiet village far from the privation and violence of their hometowns. And May 12th changed all of that. Now about 20 to 25 women remain tethered to the bracelets, black electronic monitoring devices that dig into the skin of their right ankles, leaving dark bruises and painful cuts. This is how these people are being treated. They're being treated like cattle. They're being treated like animals. They're being treated like something subhuman. And the whole mentality is, because they weren't born here, we're better than them. Because they weren't born here, they're trash. They need to come here and ask us permission before they can come have a life in this country.
And Americans, no American would say it was okay what the immigration service does. They don't even know. They just ignore it.
They'd say it's okay. They see these people as subhuman. They're lawbreakers, Mark. They broke the law.
I understand that they believe that but they think that you enter your little form in and then you wait your amount of time and then they call your name up and then you get to go in and then you wait your amount of time and then you get to become a citizen and that's the way it goes. They don't realize that the paperwork. It's regularly. I mean, it's the way they do it gets lost all the time. That it costs just thousands and thousands of dollars from people who don't have it, can't earn it, with immigration attorneys and that kind of thing. That it's just so damn difficult.
Well, even if it didn't take that long and cost that much, we have a quota system right now, so only a certain number of people can come in from, say, Mexico in a given
right.
year.
It's arbitrary. I think most people
right.
agree with that, though. I think that most Americans, and I'm not saying it's right, agree that there should only be a certain amount of people from each country
well,
to come in.
That's
a bunch of crap.
It doesn't matter. Well, that's not addressing the problem. You can make it as easy as you want. You can make the process just a lottery where you draw a ticket and you're a citizen,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to make a difference unless you abolish the quotas or significantly
right.
increase them,
because
that's the issue.
If you let a million, if you say you're going to let a million people in, but a million and one wants to come in, what's that one guy going to do? He's going to sneak across the damn border.
Or he can stay in his country and perhaps, you know, die as a result of being targeted.
Starved to death.
Yeah.
You know, they believe that the government actually looks at political refugee kind of situations. That's why Cubans get to stay if they hit the shore. Of course, they try to not let them hit the shore.
Right. Some of these women who are being monitored by these devices that are destroying their ankles try without success to protect their flesh with makeshift bandages fashioned from bandanas and shorn socks. And the women who happily embraced hard work are forced to subsist on donations from St. Bridget's and the local food pantry while they await court dates. Now, remember, these are only...
They can't go out to work.
Right. Right. And these are only the women that they let out for so-called humanitarian reasons.
Because they have kids.
So all the guys that they took in, apparently...
We're feeding to house them.
Yeah.
We're paying to feed and house them.
While they wait, they worry. Not, they say, about their own fates, but what lies ahead for their children. Those born or raised here and those left behind in Guatemala. I'm very nervous, said one. I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know if I have the strength to keep fighting. She said, I wish I could plead with the judge for my children's sake that he would give me a little more time here so my children could continue studying, so I could keep working. Without the income from jobs in this country, these mothers say they won't have enough money to send their children to school, to fund dreams of college and careers, and in many cases, even to buy them milk.
That's all they want. They want to raise their kids. They want to send them to college. They want to have a good life, just like your ancestors
did. And they don't
did.
Expect you to pay for it. They don't. She says this a little bit later. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to get to it, but she talks about how they don't want anyone to do anything for them.
I'm sure there's plenty of them that want to come here and live off welfare. I'm sure there are. But if we got rid of welfare, that's the problem. We don't have an immigration problem. We have a welfare problem.
And a government
We don't have an immigration problem. We have a public school problem.
And she says, you come here with so many plans and illusions that your children will do better than you did. She left her four children in Guatemala when she came to Postville 2 years ago. During their weekly phone calls, Morales' children proudly share their aspirations with their mother. One son wants to be an architect, and her only daughter plans to become a doctor or a teacher. And if she had been able to actually continue making a living in Postville, they might have been able to afford to do those things.
A lot of poor people did that for their kids.
1-800-259-9231 may share more of this with you, but also want to hear from you about whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low-mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
It's a fact.